Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging. So we are in a new series we've been in for a few weeks called There we go. It's about reevaluating, rethinking some of the things, some of the preconceived notions we may have in our minds about who God is. And the first preconceived notion is I want everybody in here. You got this preconceived notion that, like, this is my seat. I like this. We're going to mix that up a little bit. I want everybody to move forward. This is going to help me as I communicate God's word to you. It's going to help you because we do have a little bit smaller of a crowd tonight. So find a seat you haven't sat in. I'm going to try this again. This is going to bug me. There we go. See, we can solve issues here. It works. All right, so we're in this series called We just want Jesus to really reevaluate our hearts, reevaluate our minds. We've had just an amazing service last week asking God to be the one who would come in for Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to work inside of us to show us what we need to reprioritize in our lives. If you've missed the last 2 weeks, hop onto the podcast. You can get it off of iTunes. Just type in Rage Student Ministries. We'll pop up on there. Or go to podomatic.com and search our name. You'll see our graphic on there. Follow it. You will like it. And I think it will speak to your heart. They're already up on there, so make sure to get them. So, how many here run or have ran cross country or track? Yeah. No, I feel you. I feel your pain. So I got a question. Do they still use the starting pistols? Yes, it's still politically correct to do that. They can do that. We're not that degenerate as a society yet. We can have a fake gun in school. Okay. So they're still like, and you just go, take off running. Okay. So I just wanted to make sure that was going to be relevant. Now my hope for this was to actually bring in a starter pistol. And there's a few issues there. One, they cost too much. And two, I think it's not legal to do it in a church. But I was going to do it anyways. So just picture I have a starting gun. Just picture that. Just get that in your mind when you see that signal of the race. So the race begins with a signal. It begins with a boom, right? It's doosh, take off, right? See, and sometimes that noise can scare people. If they don't know that's the signal to start, you maybe run the other way, right? You're like, I don't wanna. And off you go. The noise is designed to signify the start of the race. And in a race, one of the most important parts is the very start. If you can get out ahead and then begin to pace yourself, you're in good shape. You are in good shape. You can maintain that constant forward momentum. You have a better chance of winning than trying to recover lost ground that you missed in the beginning. But one of the biggest struggles in maintaining your pace is every runner hits what's called the wall. They hit the wall. So you're like 14 miles into your marathon. You're like, oh, muscles are cramping up. I can't do it. I hit mine probably around a half a mile. I'm like, yo, wow, where did that thing? It's like a baseball bat to the face, and I'm done. Seriously, like, my face hurts when I hit the wall. It's a physical fight just to continue. You just try everything you can to push through, and when you think you can't do it anymore, you get what's called the second one. You're like, off you go again, and it's like somebody relit that starter pistol. Boosh, in it again, and off they go. And you are totally off running. That's fun. Okay. Now, spiritually, we are running a race to eternity with Jesus. And we hit walls in the spiritual just like we do in the physical. The only difference is instead of just calling it the wall, we label our walls. We label them. And we give them strength over us. Things like, I'm not good enough. Things like my past mistakes. My current failures. I'm not ready. It's too hard. Maybe it's the wall of, I enjoy this. I like how this is turning out. Maybe it's a wall called my inadequacies or what others say about me. Or I've always been this way. The wall of, I've tried that before. Well, all of that didn't work. I want you guys to get something tonight. If you're taking notes, write this down twice. Jesus has not called you to run a race that you can't win. He's laid out the course for you to follow on into victory. Are you getting that? Jesus has not called you to run a race that you can't win. He has laid out the course for you to follow on into victory. He's mapped it out. It's prepared for you. All you have to do is follow it. He does that because he's a good God. Because he loves you. You can get through it victorious. But sometimes you just need a bit of a restart. Sometimes you need to feel like that starter pistol's gone off again. Sometimes you feel like you need a second chance to get that momentum back. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for every young person who is here tonight. God, I thank you that you are a God of second chances. I thank you that you've given me more than just second chances. You've given me third and fourth and fifth and 30th and 50th chances. You're a God of redemption. Lord, my life is proof of that. You took a very angry, broken, drug-addicted teenager, and you redeemed me. Thank you for the restart, Lord. And I just pray tonight, your word will help to restart a few young people in here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter. This was at lunch today. Zach and Andy and I were down at Halo Burger. Anybody like, yeah, good place. Halo. Halo Burger is a place where they serve good food. It's really good. And we were there, and Zach was coming up with these ideas for, like, Christian business name. And one of them was, like, a coffee shop called Hebrews, and I just thought it was kind of funny that we're in Hebrews tonight. So look at that. Hebrews chapter 12. We're in the first through fourth verses. This is a scripture that if you have walked into a Christian bookstore, if you have watched any form of anything halfway relating to Christianity, I'm sure you've probably heard this. At one point when you felt discouraged, I'm sure somebody has quoted this back to you or paraphrased it. And the scripture is, therefore, since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I absolutely love this passage. It is one that just brings, I think, a lot of encouragement to people. A lot of encouragement to people, especially when they feel like, man, I can't do this. I can't press through. They feel like they've hit a wall and they're like, oh God, I can't do it. And he says, run the race. Run it with perseverance. And he gives us the picture that in our lives, that we who are saved, those of us who have given our lives to Jesus and are following him, we are running a race. We are running a race. And it says for us to persevere. It says to do it with perseverance because all eyes are on us as a Christian. I want you guys to get that the world is watching you. They're watching how you live your life. They're watching how you run your race. They're looking at what things you prioritize. They're looking at how you handle when you hit that wall. They're looking at what do you do with discouragement. The way you live your life matters because it points others to Jesus or it points them away from him. Which one is it? Now, this passage tells us to live life with endurance, with perseverance. So how do we do that when we feel like we've hit the wall? We got a good start. We were pacing decent. We took off running and then we hit a wall. Or maybe multiple ones that seem impassable. How do we restart when we've hit that wall? How do we restart when we've gotten slowed down? How do we restart when we feel tangled up and burdened and we just can't go on anymore? I believe the answer lies within a few scriptures that we have here tonight that we'll get to you. I think these can guide us to help us restart in purpose for what Jesus wants for us. First thing I want you to get is to remember who the race is about. Remember who the race is about. So in the text scripture, I'm a quizzy guy, and you're all smart, so I know you get this. Who does it say to fix your eyes upon? Jesus, the and of our... Okay, so it doesn't say anything about us. It says to fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who authored, which means he's authoritative. The one who perfected, which means he can take your imperfections and use them. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. That's who this race is about. See, and in our performance culture, it's easy to say, look at me, I'm running this race, I'm doing this, I'm the one running. Yes, you are, but you're doing it for Jesus. You're only able to run because Jesus has set you free from sin, because he's forgiven you, because he's purchased you. You belong to him. You belong to him. And the majority of these walls that we hit in running the race happen because our attention is not turned onto Jesus. See, and God is a God of second chances, and we need to restart by putting our focus back on Jesus. When you hit that wall, refocus. Who's the race really about? Who's the race really about? We look at the second and third verses there. It tells us that in all of our issues and all of our junk, to focus on what Jesus has done for us, that the victory's already been won. Why? Because we couldn't do it on our own. He's already won it. He's already laid out the path. It's giving us hope. It's showing us there is a way. Because let's face it, you didn't defeat sin. You didn't raise from the dead. I didn't defeat sin. I didn't raise from the dead. These are things only Jesus could do. See, you and I, we don't even have the power to make our past mistakes right. We can't even gain right standing with God. That's granted to us by grace, actually mercy in God, because his very character is because he wants relationship with us, and it's only through Jesus. So when you run your race, do it by not focusing on your mistakes. Do it by not focusing on all the junk from the past or trying to attain something on your own. Do it knowing that Jesus has already made you victorious. You just need to run it with diligence and confidence. Restart the race by remembering who the race is all about. Remember who it's about. Second thing I want you to get tonight, remember why you're running the race. Remember why you're running the race. Now, people get in big trouble when they forget why they're doing something. Think about maybe some friendships that have drifted apart. What happens is the people forget why they liked being friends in the first place. When you forget why you're doing what you're doing, it loses its purpose. The businessman who has lost his career because he lost the focus of what his job was all about. Think of that for a minute. What about pastors who have just lost everything that they've worked for, everything that God has called them to, because their focus wasn't on Jesus when they did it? Remember why you're running the race. So why do we as Christians run the race that Jesus has called us to? That kind of brings up that question there. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, what better reason than he asked you to? He's asked you to run this thing. And really, we don't need any more reason than that. But if you want to go further in that point, obedience to Jesus is a number one priority in life. Really, when you boil it down, nothing else really matters. Besides what Jesus asks of us. Nothing else. Because obedience to him is number one. And this passage reminds me that others are watching how we run. It says that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. When you look up that word in the original language, that word group of witnesses literally means a large, large group of people who come and they watch and they spectate. They observe. But it's also the same word that they use in the Greek that we get our word for martyr, one who's given everything for, because that is also a witness. They're saying run your life as a witness to what God has done. We do it because others are watching. I love what the New Living Testament says here, the New Living Translation. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, since we're surrounded by witnesses to the life of faith, that's our life as believers. How you live, the things you watch, the things you talk about, the things you say and do, or the things you don't do, Show others whose you are. And I say whose you are because if you're not in a functioning relationship with Jesus, that means you belong to the enemy. There's no middle ground. Scripture is very clear on that. You either belong to Jesus or you don't. Who are you running the race for? There's no middle ground. Restart by remembering why you are running this race in the first place. Now, many professional athletes, they get sponsored by companies. They run and they compete for victory and they compete for that sponsor. And they want to make that sponsor happy. But they also love what they do. And if they lose their focus and they forget that they love it, then they can't run successfully. They can't compete at top notch anymore. And Jesus, through the blood that he shed on the cross, has purchased you to run for him. Remember that you do it because you love him. You do it because he's called you to. You do it because there's nothing else for hope for your life outside of him. And you run this race called life with integrity, with humility, with diligence, and with honor for King Jesus. You run it for him. So if you want to restart, if you want to just get your momentum back, remember that you are running the race for Jesus. You're running the race for Jesus. Number three, you ready? Ready for this? All right, no, 3, 2, 1, boom, go. Okay. See, I don't have a starting gun. If I did this, it'd be a lot more fun. I could just be awesome. Be great. They make semi-autos. I checked into it. It's pretty cool. I'll tell you later. All right. Number three. Y'all ready? You better be after that. Okay. Remember what awaits at the end of the race. Remember what awaits at the end. Now, competitors who are the most victorious and most successful keep their focus not on what's going on now. They keep their focus on all of it. What's going on at the end. This is going to be a sore spot for some of you, but the MSU U of M game, hold your everythings. What if MSU had just looked at the clock and said, this game's over, there's no hope, and they just mentally checked out, they quit playing? What if they would have done that? I believe they wouldn't have won. I believe they would have missed that fumble, and they wouldn't have recovered. But they looked at it, and they said, there's still hope. This is still worth playing. This is still worth fighting for. They remembered what waited at the end, and they pushed for it. I think the game would have been a lot different if they would have checked out early. Now, life, I believe on a regular basis, requires us to restart. It requires us to restart our thinking, refocus our intentions just to begin again. We need that. We need that as humans. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. We've got to keep Jesus in front of us and remember that he's the one waiting at the end. But remember, he's not only at the end, he's at the end cheering you on. He's at the finish line. He's crouching down with arms open and he's waiting for you just to cross that finish line so he can scoop you up into eternity, so he can lift you up into a place of victory. But if your view is just on that wall in front of you, or maybe how you started the race years ago, but you've lost your pace a little bit, then it's time for you to restart. It's time for you to restart. Now, in a race, a lot of different races also have legs for us to run in different portions. And you don't see a runner, he crosses, he's like, yeah, I'm victorious. And he's got like 16 more legs to go. No, he stops and he gets some water and he like stretches back out and he's like, all right. He starts getting prepped for the next leg of the race. And so even if you're in a leg of the race and you're coming to the end and you're like, yeah, I'm victorious in this part of my life, that is amazing and celebrate that, but prepare for the next section. Because it's the race as a whole that matters. It's the race as a whole that matters. So what are you doing to prepare yourself to keep going? What are you doing to push forward? Kind of reminds me of Napoleon Dynamite. Any fans there? Yeah, is it Uncle Rico? Is that his name? He's like, we're at 84. Dude was like stuck in the past. Okay, he may have done well in that leg of his life, but it's time to move on. It's time to run the rest of the race. Now, if you want to be 45 and live in your parents' basement, whatever. But I would probably advise against that. I don't think that's what God has for your life. So these last 3 points that I've given are all designed for us to focus on what's important when we run the race. They're designed to be worked together. This last point, though, is I want to address is something entirely different. And it's the distractions that we face while we're running. It's those things that come up that we don't expect. Those are the things that are designed to derail us. So number four, if you're writing this down, write it down. Identify the distractions. Identify the distractions. See, often we just begin with great intentions. We begin with being able just to run with everything that we have, but then the enemy throws out a distraction in our life, and it's designed to intimidate us. It's designed to stop us from running, to take us out, and to take us down. And now, when you look at tactical teams, either military or police, there's something that they use before they go in. They'll bust out a window and they'll throw in a flash grenade. It's a loud explosion, a bright flash, and what it does is it really messes with your brain's equilibrium. You don't know what kind of what's going on. You feel distracted, and then they come in and they take you out. Now, the enemy, he works the same way. You're running this race. You got to focus. In comes a flashbang grenade. Boosh! And you're like, oh, my goodness. You're on the floor, and you're, like, twitching and stuff. All of a sudden, there's all this other stuff going on around you. You're still trying to get back to where you need to be, and you're going, what just happened? What just happened? That's how the enemy works. He wants to take you out. He wants to take you out. But what you need to do is anticipate and listen for the bangs. See, bangs come in our life in many different ways. Some things are small. Some things will knock you flat over. But here's just a few common ones as we wind down tonight. The first bang that we face, the bang of pressures. The bang of pressures. Now, pressures come in all shapes and sizes in life, from sports to academics to AP classes to worrying about colleges, what your parents think, to what your grandparents think, to what your dog thinks. Doesn't make a difference. There are pressures that come on you. And these pressures begin to weigh you down. But what does Jesus say about it? He says, to come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, all of you who are facing these weights, these pressures, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden, the portion that I shift upon you, and what I require you to carry is light. See, we take on pressures that we don't need to worry about. If the Jesus we serve is really all-powerful, if he's all-knowing, if he's all-loving, if he's mapped out our life for us, like it says in Jeremiah, if he has great plans for us, then why do we worry so much? Why do we take on these pressures? Why don't we just prioritize obedience to him as number one and know that he's bigger than these pressures that we face, bigger than the AP test score, bigger than the SAT, ACT. That he's bigger than getting into that premier college versus that community college. He'll work all of the specifics out of your life. He's looking at the whole picture of your life. He's mapped it out. Trust him with it, because he knows what he's doing. Does anybody remember Luke 9:25 from last week? Anybody? I see a few people thinking. The quizzers are like, oh, me, tell me. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self? Some translations say lose or forfeit their very soul. What good is it if you gain everything this world has to offer, all the achievements, if you've beat all the pressures that come in front of you through achievement and performance, but in the end you've sacrificed King Jesus? Let the pressures go. Throw them off. Allow the bang of pressures instead to signal you to a restart. Allow them to signal you to restart. Second bang we face, the bang of distractions. You guys can come up here. Everybody's sitting up towards the front. The bang of distractions. See, there's a bunch of different walls that we hit. I believe a bulk of them are also contributed to the fact of us being simply distracted. Distracted with relationships, distracted with friends who aren't authentic Christians who build us up, distracted with media and music influences, distracted with our own selfishness. And the enemy, I think he uses this bang a lot because it's probably extremely effective on most of us. Exactly. Oh, squirrel. I heard it. Preach it. But if you keep your focus on Jesus, It doesn't mean that you won't be tempted. It doesn't mean distractions won't come in your life. It just means that you can stay focused onward towards victory. You think of a horse, they have blinders. It doesn't mean that they can't see. It just means it helps filter some of the stuff around them. And I believe Jesus does that as we run the race of life when we can filter through his word. It keeps us focused forward. There's something that was interesting Mandy said the other day. She said, how could God ever know? How could you ever know what God wants for your life if you're not spending time with him? How do you know his will if you don't spend time with him? And so I think a lot of distractions in life also come because we're not being disciplined enough to get into the word and spend time in prayer to know what it is Jesus is saying to us. So when those distractions come, we don't know how to filter it with God's word. But distractions, they'll stop you from running the race. They stop you from competing at your fullest. Now imagine a pro soccer player. He's out on the field, he's doing his thing. And then all of a sudden you look over and he's got like a little table on the side and he's got like a griddle over there and he's cooking up some pancakes. He's like, yeah. And he's like, ooh, back in the game. And all of a sudden, like, so he's cooking these pancakes and he's like running. He's like, hey, mom. He's on FaceTime. And he's trying to play soccer and trying to cook pancakes. It'd be kind of messy, wouldn't it? But what if he pulls out a book on the other end? So he's got like pancakes and he's like, I don't know how to make pancakes. And he's like trying to follow this recipe while he's FaceTiming and trying to play like a pro soccer game. It'd be kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it? But that's what we do as we run as Christians. We end up trying to juggle all these different things because we don't have Jesus as our main focus. Just means we need to focus in. These distractions in themselves aren't bad things. Wanting friends isn't a bad desire. Enjoying music isn't a bad thing unless it is not a holiness type music. That's a whole other message. Distractions. Academics, think of that for a second. It is not a sin to want to get smarter, to use the opportunities God has given you. But it becomes a sin when you put it in front of God, when you allow it to distract you from the purpose that he's called you to. If it slows you down or it doesn't push you closer towards Jesus, then it's a distraction. Use the bang of distraction to signal your restart towards the end prize. All right, last bang right here. The bang of the opposing team. The bang of the opposing team. Do you ever see athletes walk onto the field with headphones in? It's not because they want to look cool. It's because when they're walking in, they're trying to keep their focus. They're trying to keep themselves in the zone. Now, in Denver, I'm a huge Broncos fan. They have this thing called the Mile High Thunder. It's where everybody in there gets their feet and their hands slapping on stuff. And that's why in TV, you see like the cameras like... Seattle fans do it too. They make so much noise that the cameras shake around and it's almost deafening inside of there. The roar of the opposing team can feel overwhelming. It can distract you. It can pressure you when you feel like you don't need to be pressured. So what happens, those of you once again who enjoy football, the MSU-Indiana game that was on last Saturday, anybody watch? Anybody? Okay, all three of us. All right, cool. So in that game, there was a bad call made. It was fumble recovery. And then they're back on the line. And Indiana has the ball. And you hear the roar of the crowd get so intense, so loud, because they're trying to distract the other team. They're trying to get inside their head. It's a strategic move. But if you tune your ears into Jesus, if you allow him to filter out the noise, if you allow him to coach you to the finish line, that roar suddenly dies down. It's not nearly as distracting. Now, Galatians 5:7, if you're taking notes, write this verse down too. Galatians 5:7, it says, you were running. You were, not anymore. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Who cut in on you from keeping you to obey the truth? This is a question Paul didn't ask of an unsaved person. He asked this of a church who had become distracted with, who had hit a wall because they were listening to false teachers. They were listening to the wrong voices. They were listening to the roar of the crowd, to the coaching of the enemy. You need to listen to your coach. When the roar of the opposing team comes, listen to your coach. Not the other team's coach, your coach. Coach Jesus. Coach pastor in your life. Coach godly people in your life. Listen to them because they're coaching you on and forward towards victory. Allow the bang of the opposing team to motivate you to restart so you can keep the focus. Allow these things to motivate you, not scare you. Because once again, when that starting pistol goes off, if you know that it signifies a restart, I'm going to gain some momentum. It's a good thing. But if you're fearful of it, you jump and you run the other way, or you pause or you hesitate, you're not going to have that start that you need. See, anything that distracts you from Jesus or slows you down is a bang, and a bang leads to a hopeless feeling. But if you can learn how to identify them and use them to signal a restart, it helps you run the race with a little more perseverance. And as we close tonight, I want to leave you with Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Such an encouraging verse because it edifies that point that God is a God of restarts. When you make mistakes, he'll get you running again. When you hit that wall, he'll help you break through it. Your past doesn't matter. Your failures don't matter. Your current circumstances don't matter. That wall that seems impassable isn't impassable to Jesus when you allow him to help get you through it. And when you're running, remember, nothing will separate you from the love of God. He has called you to this race so you can run it victorious. Nobody is too far gone. Nobody is too bad. Nobody is too lost. Think of Paul. Paul was a terrorist. Paul was a terrorist. And God redeemed him. He bought him back and used him as such a powerful instrument throughout the New Testament. Thousands of people's lives changed because of the life of a terrorist. But he didn't stay under that title. He went from Saul to Paul. When God called him to run the race, he gave him that new creation, that new identity, that new being, and he did it because he wanted him to run with perseverance. He didn't want him identified with past failures. He's a new creation. So don't let the lies or the distractions of the enemy keep you from the love of God. They don't have any power over you unless you give it to them. See, all of us, we need restarts in life. All of us. Everybody just bow their head, close their eyes. It doesn't matter if you failed one time in your life or a million times. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. What matters, who's calling the shots for your future. We all need a restart every now and then. Are you allowing the very love of God to restart you? Are you allowing the love of God to restart you? I just want you to think what walls you're hitting in your life that seem impassable. What walls are you hitting that you're like, man, this is going to take me out? Let the love of God shower over that. Let the love of God be bigger than that circumstance. 1 John 4 says God is love. If you do not know God, then you cannot love, for God is love. God by his very nature is love. But before you can really experience that, you need to know Jesus. You need to know the one who has died for you. And if that's you, if you're saying, man, I don't even need a restart right now. I just need a start. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or you are saying, man, I started off strong and I'm backslidden. I'm not where I need to be. I need a restart. I believe this is the bang in your life that God is calling you to right now. If that's you, you just want to give your life back to Jesus or maybe give it to him for the first time. You want to run the race with perseverance. If that's you, just go ahead and slip up your hand. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Thank you. There's a couple in the front. Anybody else? Thank you. You guys can look up here. We all need a restart. We all need a restart. There's times where we just get bogged down. It doesn't matter what what we need restarted in our life. Maybe it's those of you who said, I'm just away from Jesus right now. I want to get closer to him. Maybe you're saying, man, the restart I need is I just need some better friends. I need to not care so much about what other people think. I need to worry a little bit less. I need to prioritize Jesus as number one. Whatever that bang in your life, that wall you're hitting, whatever issue you're facing, know God's love is more powerful than that. It's bigger than that. And he wants to cover it tonight. If you'll let him. If you'll let him. Will you allow your focus to stay on him? What I'm going to do is open the altars like we normally do. And the leaders are going to be moving through. They're going to be praying for you. And they're going to ask you, hey, what kind of walls are you hitting? What kind of bangs are you facing in your life? And they're going to pray over that circumstance, over that situation. And I want you, once they're done praying, I just want you to stay there. And I want you just to spend a little bit of time with Jesus and allow him to be the one to break down that wall.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.